weeks were great in Florida, right? I sure was jealous, in a good way. I just want to encourage everyone right now just to come into an attitude of prayer and worship and just really focus on God right now and just let everything that has discouraged you this week behind. And we'll just, I would love for everybody just to stand up and we'll just go into a prayer right now. And if you're comfortable with this, just start speaking in tongues, because that is what stirs the Holy Spirit within you. Holy Spirit, we invite you this morning. Just come right now and fill our hearts, fill our souls, fill our mind. Father, I ask you that you are so gonna take over this morning, and that you will lead every step and every move that we make this morning in this room, Father, and that you just lead us and guide us. Holy Spirit, I give you full control, and I ask you just come and take this place, your place, Father, into your atmosphere right now. We speak and release the atmosphere of heaven right now into this place, and I release the glory of God into this place right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And while I'm teaching, I just want to encourage you to stay in an attitude of prayer, because something that is in us is the Holy Spirit, and that is huge, and he wants us to understand what he's saying. And when we stay in this attitude of, you know, focusing on Jesus, then he opens our mind and we will see what he has to say. Something that stirred in my heart this entire week was, who is the Father? Who is the Father? We always focus on Jesus, but who is the Father? Have you ever really thought about lately who the Father is to you? I just want to ask, you know, feel free to say something if you want to. The Father is so loving and kind. And I want to start with this. I received this week, I think like a couple days ago, I received this little thing here, probably a lot of you got. And when I opened it, I was really grieved, actually. Because the first thing that opens to it, and this is what everybody got in my neighborhood, in their doorway, everybody got this little letter from the Baptist church. So I was like, okay, I'll look into it. And the first thing that it says is, you are a sinner. And just it just really hit me. I was like, you know, as soon as I would read this as an unbeliever, I would be like, no. And you know what? And then I had a conversation with my neighbors this week for the first time about God. And they were like, God is nothing. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in him. What is God to you, Mira? I said, God is love. Love. He is love. He's a loving father who loves me so very much. And this is what came afterwards, after I talked to my neighbors. And you know, then the next thing it says, your sins have to be paid for. Exactly. But, you know, as a person that has no idea about Jesus and receiving something like this, it's a complete turnoff. And this is what's so interesting, because I kept asking the Father, Father, what do you want me to talk about on Sunday? What do you want? There's so many subjects. And he kept showing me, who am I? Who am I? And I was just so taken away, because everything I read in books, like I'm studying all these books because just so breathtaking what God showed to so many people in these end times. And then I went into the Bible and it was exactly the same again. Who am I? So I think he wants us to understand who he is and who you are. So something that came to me yesterday was, I was reading in the Bible, of a Hebrew Bible, in my iPad, and it said, as a blessing, the Hebrews write this every day in the Torah, I think, Blessed are you, Adonai, forever and ever, for giving us the doorway to the kingdom of heaven in Messiah. That is huge. So go to Ephesians 1:3-17. Where it says in 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ, here it is, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What are those spiritual blessings? First of all, his love. This is a huge thing again. The Father is Yahweh, Adonai, God, and he was always here. And he had the desire to create you and me because he was searching for love and he wanted to love somebody. It's not as much as he wants you to love him right now. Just focus on this one point. He wants to love you. He wants to love you. And it doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter. Like, come to the conclusion that God loves you. And once you understand and come in identification with that God loves you and he sent his only begotten son for you, and he, Jesus, is the blessing of everything, because God loved us so much that he gave us his blessing by sending his only begotten son. And how much that must have hurt him to see him on the cross. But that's because he loves you. And I think that's what he wants to tell this morning, that he is love. Yes, you're a sinner, but you know what? Jesus came to pay for that. So don't focus on that, but focus on not to sin anymore. So we'll go and read in Ephesians 1:3 again. So what are the blessings? The blessings are the key benefits of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted me to focus on this morning. A relationship with the Father. What is a relationship with the Father? First of all, Jesus came to this world and he became the doorway into heaven. He became the doorway into heaven so that we can step into heaven right now in heavenly place. We're seated with him in heavenly places right now. So if we have a relationship with the Father by going every day to him and sitting on his feet right here by Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, this is what he wants. He wants a relationship. And yesterday I had this small, tiny vision where I was just walking in a garden and I saw, like, you know, in my vision, in my imagination also, how God was just waiting for me to go and to sit by his feet. And this is what he wants from us. He just is so excited when he hears our feet, our footsteps, making the choice to get up and go to the Father and tell him everything that's in us. Just tell him, like, you, I'm telling you right now, this is how you can talk to the Father. This is just basic principles right now, but I feel like the Father is so missing that relationship, and this is the key to everything. If you have the relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, boom, we can change this world, because the kingdom, let me tell you this too, the kingdom lives within us. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians, let me go there real quick, 3, I don't know where my phone is. Here. 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Let's take that into a discussion right now. What does this mean? This means I am the temple. This body is the temple of the Holy One. So that means God lives in me. The Holy One lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Jesus lives in me. The Trinity. So this means there is heaven in me. This is deep, because I know it's very deep. But this means that heaven is in me. The kingdom of God lives within me. And what does that mean? Let's go to the next step. That means the Father in me wants relationship with me by talking to him. And sometimes I just love to close my eyes, because I know inside of me dwells the river of God. And the river is heaven, with the throne of God is sitting on the throne. The throne has a river flowing. So just imagine this right now. That is in you. And it is ready to be released in this world. Amen. So it's just so exciting. Yes?
I think Paul was telling this church in this letter, because they were so used to going to the sanctuary, going to the tabernacle. But when Jesus ascended, that veil was rent in two. And now the temple is not in the four walls. You don't have to have a priest. His spirit is not just dwelling in the temple. That now you are the temple.
Exactly.
And that his spirit is dwelling within you.
Exactly.
And that's exactly that point that I think the Father wants to bring across. That we don't have to think of a house anymore. A physical house. No, it's in us. So as soon as you accept Jesus into your heart, the doorway to the Father is open. I want you to picture this, because I just want to draw a picture right now. So Jesus came to this world, died on the cross, and now we have access to the Father again, you know? And what happened? They came to live within us. And now we are totally able to have relationship to the point that we become one with him. And once we can become one with him, he takes over and we are transformed into his image. But that's another sermon. So let's see. Where did it go? Oh, did it fall? Okay. So Ephesians 1, again, we're going to go back to that. And I'm going to just read it, because Ephesians 1 is basically the whole gospel. It is such a deep, deep word. So we're going to go to verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us. I want you to get this. For adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. It talks about the Father. It talks about being his children that he has predestined before the creation of the world. Just imagine that. I mean, the world wasn't even here yet. Jesus was here. The Holy Spirit was here. But man wasn't even created yet. But he had predestined us already. And so here we are today, after the fall, and Jesus has paid for us, and he is calling us, and he has adopted us as his children. He has adopted the Israel people, the Gentiles. So all of us are meant to be adopted to the Father, you know? I think his heart is just really crying out for a relationship. I came to the conclusion, I kind of had to repent, because it's always, you know, I always focus on Jesus, which we are supposed to do, don't get me wrong. But the Father, he's there too, and he wants that love, and he doesn't want you to understand he is this mean, angry God that we sometimes read from the Old Testament. We just need to understand God to understand what he did in the Old Testament. He's a loving Father. I hope that makes sense. Yeah? Yes, go for it.
There's a footnote in my Bible that's kind of neat. See, at the end of verse 4, it ends with a period. And then out of the blue, it says, in love. And then it jumps to the next verse. See, in the Hebrew and the Greek, there were not any verses or chapters. They were written as letters. And when King James did their version in 1611, they separated into chapters and verses. So the footnote here says that the words in love actually begin verse 5, the way it was written in the original Greek. In love he predestined us. Isn't that neat? Because verse 4 ends with a period at the end of before him, period. And then in love is just kind of hanging out there. And the footnote here says it goes with verse 5.
Wow.
In love he predestined us.
That's awesome.
There you go. Thanks, Chase.
Yeah, that's awesome. So there you go. Love. He is love. Love, love, love. And, you know, I mean, he must be loved to give his only begotten son, you know, when we just, we're going to get there. Because it says it in here, like, hold on. Okay, let's see. First I want to read Jeremiah 1:5. So, as I said, you were adopted by the Father, by Jesus Christ. You know, we're his children. And in Jeremiah 1:5, it talks about who you are to God. It says, he's saying that God the Father is speaking to Jeremiah. But I believe with all my heart, he means all of us by this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. Do we know this? I recognize myself in that, where I'm like, God, I just don't even know how to speak or say anything to other people about you or whatever. I can't do this. How can you appoint me for anything in this world? I'm shy. I'm, you know, don't we know all these feelings? So, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a boy or a girl. For you shall go to all to whom I sent you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand, I love this one, and touched my mouth, as Jeremiah. And the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. Do you get this? If we trust the Lord, He will put the words into our mouth so that we know what to say to the appointed time when he wants us to say something to the nations, to the people, to whoever he appoints us to. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. These are huge words. But I believe with all my heart he has called every single person in this room to a really high calling. First of all, what is your calling? Your calling in the very first place is to have a relationship with the Father. That's your very first calling in your life. That's where the Father has called you to do, to love him, and he wants to love you. You know what I believe? He just searches for somebody who loves him. He wants to hear the word, I love you, I love you. And once you have this relationship, and don't seek after all the miracles and all the signs and wonders, but the relationship, the Father can plant this big, big thing into you, and his kingdom can come and be released out of you into this world, and then he can turn this whole city upside down. And I believe that with all my heart. And that's what he wants to do. I have seen things that he wants this town saved. You know, we have to come to the understanding who he is in order to become who we are in Christ. And so, Jeremiah did what God told him to do. And he trusted God and he went and he was totally blessed by God. So, in verse 6 in Jeremiah 1, it says, to the praise of his glory, grace... Oh no, that's Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved, he is worthy of praise for showing us grace by giving us his only begotten son. There it is. He has just given us his only begotten son. Any questions, since this is a teaching? Anybody? Okay. I'll go on. Father God is marvelous, merciful, freely giving us these gifts in his beloved Son that we can come freely to him, to the throne. So, okay, in verse 7, it says in the voice translation, I love the voice translation, just like as Ellie did last Sunday. I was like, yep, me too. I'm one of the voice translation, Bible translation people. It says there, visualize this. Let it sink. Visualize. Imagine. Activate your imagination right now. Visualize it. His blood freely flowing down the cross, setting us free. We are forgiven for our sinful ways by the richness of his grace. Did you picture that? I want you all to picture that. I'm going to read it again. His blood freely flowing down the cross, setting us free from every sin, from every slavery. We're no slaves anymore. There's no bondage anymore. And you know what? I'm coming a long way to understand this. I'm still trying to understand this. I am no slave to anything in this world anymore. Not to men, not to sin, not to anything, not to work. No, I'm only to do what the Father says to do. Because he has given us freedom through Jesus Christ. It's so deep. So deep. And here goes. The blood which he has poured all over us with all wisdom and insight. He gave us all his wisdom and insight. But you know what? We need to take a hold of it by taking his spirit and letting him lead us and guide us and let him give him his wisdom into us. Get away from your own wisdom, your own intellect. Let it die. Put it to the cross. Say no more. A plan that will climax when the... Verse 9. He has enlightened us to the great mystery at the center of his will. With immense pleasure, he laid out his intentions through his Son, Jesus. This is you guys. I want you to understand, this is your DNA in Jesus, in the Father. The Father, you are a child of the Father. He has his seed in you. You know? Being set free by his Son. A plan, oh no, hold on, where was I now? So, verse 10, a plan that will climax when the time is right as he returns to create order and unity both in heaven and on earth, and all things are brought together under the anointed's royal rule in him. We stand to inherit even more. As his heirs, we are predestined, there it is again, predestined, to play a key role in his unfolding purpose that is energizing everything to conform to his will, not my will. I think we just need to understand that his will. God has shown me this over and over. Mira, you know, everybody does what they want to do in this world. Like, it breaks his heart. Why can't we just understand that if we submit to the Father, our lives will be so much better? Because that's all he is. He's only good. Like, if we understand what the will of the Father is, then we know that he only wants good for us. Like, our will wants to do things that often are not godly, right? So we need to understand if we do his will, we don't sin anymore. Because sin is what brings us down. As a result, we, the first to place our hope in the anointed one. So we want to put our hope into God. We'll live in a way to bring him glory and praise. Not myself anymore. I want to bring him glory and praise. Because you too have heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, because you believed in the one who is truth. Your lives are marked with his seal. With his seal. This is none other than the Holy Spirit who was promised. As the guarantee toward the inheritance we are to receive when he frees and rescues all who belong to him, to God be praise and glory. So it goes on and on. But I believe that the Father is showing his perfect will in this entire Ephesians 1. And so in verse 18, this is one of my favorites, actually, which comes back to me about every time I read something or I even read a book. Like yesterday again, I was like, oh God, is this really the subject you want to bring tomorrow? But like I laid down yesterday and started to read a book again. And guess what? Ephesians 1 was in there again. Ephesians 1 and then especially Ephesians 18, which says, open the eyes of their hearts. This is a prayer from Paul towards his disciples. So this is what needs to happen. We need to ask the Father to open our hearts, our eyes of the heart. What does that mean? It means, Jesus, let me see you. Jesus, let me see you. Open my eyes of the heart. My heart is everything, you know, like that's where Jesus dwells. And I believe that he wants to take the scales of our eyes that we can see him. And if he lives in us, he wants to be seen, right? So open our eyes, Jesus, so that we can see what you have in plan for us. We are called to do your will. So in order to do your will, Jesus, we need to see what you're doing, right? It's just what Jesus did in this world. So the more I study Jesus, I mean, you know what? This is what we need to do, guys. We need to study Jesus's life to understand who we are and what we're supposed to do. He humbled himself under God in every single way. He submitted. He never was stubborn. He never was doing his own will. He only did what he saw the Father do. How could he get there? Probably first he heard the Father and stepped into obedience and prayed and went into relationship with the Father. And once he was there at the feet of the Father, he started to see the Father. And I think that's what God wants. He wants us to have this father-daughter, father-son relationship as he had with Jesus Christ when Jesus was dwelling on this earth. Jesus modeled everything to us, everything. So once Jesus heard from the Father, he stepped into obedience, he understood who he was in God. Now he sees the Father doing things. He doesn't just hear him, he sees visualizing. There it is, visualizing. Wow! And now he doesn't do his own will ever because he sees the Father and he knows clearly this is the will of the Father. I want to get there. I'm not there yet. I only, you know, if I believe this is what God says, I do believe that's what God says. But I want to get to the point where I see, you know? And that's what I believe God wants to activate, that visualizing in you. So start, if you close your eyes, just start casting down every other thought that comes to you that is not of Christ. And start imagining Jesus, you know? And like just romance with him and you're in your thought, like just tell him how much you love him and just how much he means to you. And that's how you activate, you know. I believe that with all my heart, because since I've done it, I've seen visions again that have been kind of lost in my life. So, you know, yesterday, as I said, when I saw the garden, I mean, I activated something in me, you know. I was reading the Garden of Eden, he's in there, so I was just like seeing myself, I'm in the garden, and all of a sudden there was these flowers, and I was just like walking, I was like, God, I'm waiting for you, and that's, you know, that's, he gave us an imagination for a reason. Don't let the devil take the imagination, like, of bad thoughts. That's why Jesus said, cast all your bad thoughts away, and just sanctify, this is very important, sanctify your imagination. Only by Jesus is this possible. So be careful what you think, what you dwell on, because everything you think falls into your heart unless you catch it first and cast it out. Very important. So sanctify your imagination. That's in the Bible too. Anyway, so I'm praying this over you, that God will open the eyes of your hearts, and that the light of His truth flood in. The light, you know. In, do we have time? Yes. In, where was it? 1 John. What came into my eyes this morning was 1 John 5. It says, God is pure light. Pure light. And you know what? If we study the Bible, we see that He created us into His own image. What does that mean? We are pure light. This is really deep, but it's just, if we are in His image and we are sanctified by Jesus and we are completely set free and we walk the walk with God, we are spirit beings, you know, we are spirit beings. So I believe with all my heart that in here is light because He lives in me. So there can only be light. Does that make sense? So like we are light, and it says that in the Bible all over, that Jesus is the light and we are supposed to shine Him, shine His light out. So this is what happens once you activate your relationship with the Father. Something is activated in you, and now His kingdom can flow out of your mouth, out of your actions, out of your eyes. And what, you know what I believe? One day we will shine so bright, because Jesus is taking over and transforms us into His image more and more. And this world out there that Jesus loves, He loves everyone. He loves, I believe, He loves all the people from ISIS. I believe that with all my heart. He doesn't love what they're doing. He hates it. But He loves every person out there. He doesn't want anybody to perish. And guess what is our, what our calling is? Relationship with the Father, and then go out there and tell them about it so they do not get lost. I'm learning myself. I mean, it's very hard, but that's, you know, before we go out there, we first need to have the deep relationship with the Father to know how to deal with this world. Does that make sense? We can't just go out there and like reading the Bible doesn't do it. Just coming to this church doesn't do it. You know what does it? Is every day you say, I'm coming to the cross. I'm laying everything down, Father. I'm just giving myself to You. I want to hear what You want me to do today. Every day. Not just today. You know, reading the Bible is so important because you eat and eat and eat. But the relationship is what activates it completely, because that's what the key is. You are, so anyways, reveal to them, God, the glorious riches You are preparing as their inheritance. Let them see the full extent of Your power that is at work in those of you and those of us who believe, and may it be done according to Your might and power, not to our power. Who is that power? The Spirit of God has been given to us to empower us. He's given us such power. But don't dwell on the power right now, as I said. Dwell on finding Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit and His will, and then all things will be handed to you. Let's see. In Ephesians 2:6 it says, He raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly places. First of all, the resurrection power in that verse is the Holy Spirit. He has raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, the doorway. But doesn't that seem to you that this is right now, not just when we're dead? We're seated right now with Him in heavenly places. I want you to go and write this down and dwell, like just meditate on it, chew on it at home. because this verse right there has changed my life the last 2 years. This verse right there has opened a lot of my, has opened my eyes, because we are seated with him right now in heavenly places. We always think like when we're dead, then we're seated there. No, our spirit is with him right now. So, let's see. Any questions? Paul? Chase? Beth? You? No? All right. I want to say this, because this is who you are. That's who I am. You know, we consider ourselves probably not as smart very often. Maybe we do. I mean, whoever you are. But I never went to, like, I never completely, ended my college degree. So very often I was like, I'm not that smart, you know. I feel like really not wanting to tell anybody that I didn't get my degree in college. Who cares? This is what it says. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, verse 31, till 31, it says, 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says, consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Do you get that? Because this is human standards down here. So you're very smart. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish. I love this. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. This is a powerful verse. Where were we? God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification, redemption, in order that, as it is written, that the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. So this means that he is actually using the foolish ones that maybe didn't get a degree. Maybe they look foolish to the eyes of this intellect world. Maybe, you know, they're little. This is what God always chooses. He always chooses the ones that are less in this world. If you consider yourself that, you are actually beautiful in God's world, you know? Because he will choose you. He will choose you. He will choose you. He will choose all of us who will give himself as a living vessel for him. And that's another key. Give yourself as a living vessel to him. And he will make you wise, wiser than this intellect of this world, to bring down his power and his glory into this world. Any questions? Okay. Then in James 2:5, it says it too. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God the Father not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? So everything that is less is gained in God. That was James 2:5. So, conclusion. God wants a relationship with you. That is the key subject. And hold on 1 second, I want to see something. I like this in my book. I'm reading Ian Clayton right now, Kingdom something. But anyways, he says in here, God is our dad, and we have his seed in us, and that seed is going to make us look like him. You can have skin that is going to look like diamonds matted together, moving with fire full of glory and light, blue full of light and flickering with power, because that's what God is. God is everything that's beautiful. Diamonds, beautiful, everything that is light, everything you can think of beauty is God. So that's what he wants you to be. And I want to read this too. God is calling all of us to come into his presence, not just to his throne. This is really big, guys. Sometimes we think, you know, we're just going to go to his throne. No, he wants us. Hold on. God is calling all of us to come into his presence, not just to his throne, but to the person. God is a person, and it's not just our ultimate power source. He is a person who wants a relationship with you and me. He wants to be loved. That was big, you know? So this is it for tonight, today, I think. If you have any question, oh, one more thing now. Hold on. Another verse I want to give today that I would love for you to just meditate on is Romans 8, verse 9. You are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. There we see again, he lives in you. He lives not out of you. I mean, he lives everywhere, but he lives inside of you, and he wants to be released. We are his chosen vessels to release his kingdom. You know, we always think, God, bring down your kingdom. His kingdom is already here. We just need to release it onto this earth. We just have to let it go. We have to release it out of us into this world. But that doesn't happen until we sanctify ourselves and walk blameless in God's ways. And say yes to him. Only he can make us that way, that we are just like him. Of course, we're going to sin here and there, but you know what? As soon as you sin, go to the Father. Say, I'm sorry. And that's what he means with walking a blameless life, constantly in repentance, constantly saying, okay, God, I'm giving myself to you to become the source of your kingdom being released into this world. And that's how we change this world. Amen.
Thank you.